Welcome back to more of Go Ask Your Father on Relevant Radio, and thank you for joining us for this hour on Relevant Radio. I'm Monsignor Stuart Swetland. I'm the president of Donnelly College in Kansas City, Kansas. And you can call in right now with your questions. And let's go right to California to Tony. Tony, thanks for holding. How can I help you?
Hi, Father. Good morning. Just got a little question, a little concern. What should I do? It's because I've been having this problem with my wife since November. She already filed for divorce, and the papers are already in court. And we've been married by church by 14 years. So she decided not. She says she don't like me no more. She wants to break up with me. So what should I do?
Okay. Well, Tony, I'm very sorry to hear about your struggles. You say a little. This is a huge thing because it speaks to your vocation as a husband. Now, do you have children?
Yeah, we have two children.
You have two children. Okay, so, of course, whatever the courts may or may not do is irrelevant on the most important level to the reality of what God calls you to. You're called to be faithful to your wife, to love her, and to be a good husband and good father to your children, no matter what happens with the civil courts. Now, obviously, you want to seek reconciliation with her. It's never too late to do that. I've had plenty of situations where people rashly have entered into divorce and later been reconciled and have been, quote unquote, remarried in the eyes of the state. But of course, they were always married in the eyes of God. You took a vow for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer and poorer, till death do us part. And you need to be faithful to that vow. And you need to make sure she knows that you love her. Now, love here is not a feeling. All right. This is one of the huge lies that our culture has embraced and has messed lots of people up because they've embraced it. They treat love as if it's mainly an emotion. Now, obviously, there are emotional realities that we can call love. But what love, anything worthy of the name love, isn't an emotion. It's a choice. It's something we do with our heart, okay, with our free will. And to love someone is to want, will, and work for the true good of the other. Now, there is that particular type of love. What I just described is the love that all of us are called to have for each other. And that love is concretized for in various ways with, for example, friends. We have a friendship love that is in addition to the love we have for everyone. There are particular friendships we have where we have the additional type of love that the Greeks call philia, friendship love. Now, for a husband and wife, hopefully there's friendship love, but there's also eros. Eros is the love, romantic love of husband and wife. But in all cases for Christians, eros and philia, friendship, romantic love and friendship love, all of them are to be bound up and concretized and made holy by agape, by divine love, the love that God makes possible in our heart by giving us the gift of charity. And that entails wanting, working, and willing the true good of the other. There's also the particular love of storge, the family love that you have for your relatives and your immediate family. So all of those are to be perfected in love, and you're still called to love her in that way and to be faithful to her in that way. She needs to know that you are always ready to reconcile, that there isn't anything that you two together can't overcome in your relationship with the grace of God. And you would be willing to do whatever it takes, that isn't immoral, obviously, whatever it takes to keep the two of you together, because that's what God wants if you are married. And for the sake of your children, that's what God wants. Now, all you can do is propose all of that. It takes her choice not to abandon her commitment to you and to her children, but rather to fulfill that obligation. Now, both of you have to be willing to do that, and both of you have to be willing to do what's necessary to make that possible. If for a period of time you have to live separately because you're working things out, then that can be done, but it doesn't change the status of you being married. And if that becomes any kind of long-term situation, there is in the church a way of recognizing a separation of people who are validly married to each other while they're working things out. And the canon law gives us that. So, but the thing you shouldn't do is just go along and pretend like the state can dissolve your marriage, because it cannot.
Okay.
Tony, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Thank you very much, Father.
Right, but you have to pray for her, sacrifice for her. You've got to be fasting for her. I mean, you got to go not just the extra mile, but in case of your wife, the extra 10 miles. That the vows that you committed to each other ask of you. All right, you've got to cherish her, love her. If she's done wrong, you've got to forgive her. If you've done wrong, you have to ask for forgiveness and repent, truly change, have that metanoia, that change of heart from the way you were living to the way you ought to live, to be her husband, to be, you know, fulfilling your end of the vows. Okay?
So, okay.
Okay.
Thanks,
yeah. Let us know how it's going. We're going to be praying for you, Tony, in California, that this works out, because God wants to keep your marriage together, and he wants, for the sake of your children especially, that to happen. God bless you. Thanks for calling.